Leonzo Barreno, thank you very much for taking my call.
No problem, Livon. Thank you for having me.
Now, tell me about your own immigration history. How did you end up in Canada?
I came to Canada in 1989. I do remember that in those years, the largest ethnic group or people from other nationality were the Chileans. And I'm talking about non-European. But lately, in, I would say in the last 10 years, we have seen the arrival of people from all over the world. So when I came, it was very distinct to see, you know, not to see too many people from other parts of the world.
You came from Guatemala, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. Yeah, I am an indigenous Mayan from Guatemala. Yeah, and like I said, you know, when I came here, I immediately started to be with the Chileans because of the language, and in fact, many of them helped me to survive in here. Also, I had the support of many First Nations people who, you know, kind of took me under their wing, and that's how I was able to stay and survive here.
Did you land in Saskatchewan right away, or?
Yes, I came to Regina, Saskatchewan, and I had some Chilean friends and some First Nations people who helped me to stay here.
And how was it finding work at the time?
You know, because of the language issue, it's always difficult. However, you know, I immediately knew that in order to survive, you had to work, and so I started as a janitor and working in cafeterias at the university, and then little by little, as I started to improve with my language, I started to have access to other jobs. Any job is decent, but obviously, as a young person, I knew that I could do more with my life, and of course, going to university, getting degrees, eventually started to work for the university in administration positions, such as coordinating programs and then directing an international indigenous center. And now I am completing my PhD, but also I teach at the School of Journalism in the University of Regina.
When you came to, you said in the late 1980s, at a time when there was a huge upheaval in Guatemala directed against the Mayan population.
That is correct. There was the civil war was still on. The worst years were already over. The main massacres happened between 1980 and 1983. There was a massive exodus, immigration of people going to Mexico, especially. And that's where, you know, the refugee camps were. I would say that up to 100,000 people were refugees there and supported by Mexican indigenous peoples and Mexicans themselves who gave my people an opportunity to survive in those camps. But the war continued and many of us stayed in the country. And eventually I left in 1989.
Do you remember what you felt at a time when you came?
Loneliness, sense of basically, you know, in my country, I was doing a lot of stuff. I was very young, as a university student, but when I came here, I realized that I had to start from zero. And so, with the support from friends, I kind of realized that if I had to survive in a society like this. First, of course, it was to find employment, improve my language skills, go to university. And so, yeah, it was a sense of loneliness, a cultural shock, of course. The weather is always a challenge. But after many years and raising a family, I feel like I am Canadian now and with Canadian kids. So, it had changed a lot, but at the beginning, and I will say that it happens to all new immigrants, is this. This cultural shock and the weather and you know, sometimes you know that you don't have an easy way to go back home. You know, years had to pass until you have that opportunity.
What about prejudices? What kind of prejudices did you encounter in your life in Canada?
In terms of prejudice and racism, to be honest with you, I did not experience much of that when I came, nor in all the years that I have been here. There have been some minimal experience that I have experienced, but it's not something that I can honestly say that it happened, because my friends immediately became, like I told you, my first friends were Latin Americans, Chileans, Salvadorians who were here already, eventually started to interact with Canadians, Caucasians, First Nations people, Métis people. So I had a good experience. Throughout my almost 27, 28 years that I have been here, I have encountered maybe a couple of discriminatory remarks about me, but really I haven't put too much attention to it. Rather than putting me down, I have found those to be empowering, because then I realized that I have to educate people about prejudice, about racism. In fact, I'm constantly invited to speak to schools, universities, religious groups, and I have also worked in settlement agencies to give presentations about prejudice, racism, intercultural relations, all of that stuff, in order to improve society's intercultural relations.
You are an Aboriginal person yourself.
Yes, I am. I am an Indigenous, a Mayan from Guatemala, yes.
I have a question that I have struggled myself a lot. I'm an immigrant to Canada. I came from Armenia in the former Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered, what is the responsibility that immigrants like me have towards Canada's indigenous communities, the people who,
One of the first things that we as new immigrants need to do is to educate ourselves about this country. Unfortunately, the education systems in all across Canada do not teach us enough about the original peoples of this land. And it is, because I am indigenous myself from another country, is that it's a personal interest of myself to learn about these people, to know about the history, their struggles, but also to educate people about those struggles. I think immigrants, sometimes when they are not informed about how is it that Canada was formed, our prejudices against indigenous peoples start to develop. And it is not just new immigrants, because it would be unfair to simply put people in different categories, but I would say it's the system itself, the education system. It's sort of a kind of structural kind of racism that have existed for a long time. And that is, what I mean is that the education systems of this country have not taught people about indigenous issues. So very few people know about the treaties, much less know about residential schools. They don't know about the cultural genocide, and in some cases, physical genocide that happened in this country. And that is unfortunate. But now, with the coming of new writers, like, for instance, I will give you an example. Here in Regina, we have an author by the name James Daschak, who wrote the book Clearing the Plains. And another book that I also use in my classes is called Seeing Red by Mark Anderson and Carmen Robertson. They have written about this cultural genocide and genocide that happened in these lands in Western Canada. So when people don't know about this history, it's when people develop prejudice. So I will say that it's not just for immigrants, but I will say for all Canadians, is to know about the history of these people. Because on the other hand, when we go to school, when you and I come to Canada, we immediately know how to learn the language, English. We have to learn about the history of Canada, which is the official history, but we very seldom know about indigenous history, about indigenous peoples. All I can say is that this is a country of immigrants, with the exception of the First Nations people. We all came here from somewhere, and I think we simply owe to them at least, to know a little bit more about them, because this is their land. You know, and legally, this is still the land that, we know, even though there were treaties signed, they never surrendered the lands. And so I think it will be good if all Canadians know about that and that we all benefited by coming here and by having a chance to live, a chance to work, a chance to study. And it is part of our traditions as Indigenous peoples to know about the other and to also pay our respects to the other. And what I mean is, whenever you are a visitor to anybody's home, to anybody's country, it's always to, you know, to acknowledge that there were some people before us here.